Pow, 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 pow. So on any given weekend night, if you're walking down St. Cloud Avenue past Cajun's Pub, you might hear those sweet, dulcet tones of Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. And I am proud to say that I've probably performed about 99.9 repeating percent of those songs. I self-identify as a Bruce Springsteen lesbian. Obviously. But this isn't an identity that you're born with. My story about Bruce starts in 1975. I'm not that old. It starts with my father. When he was a sophomore in college, he rode to the local record store. He heard about this fella, Bruce Springsteen, who was shaking things up. And he bought the album Born to Run. He went home to his dorm room, you know, put it on his whatever, I don't know. And he started listening to it, went through the whole album. He rode back to the store and bought his first two albums. So he became a follower that day. He attempted to raise all three of his children as Bruce Springsteen followers, but it didn't quite go as planned. We were a little more rebellious to his music tastes, and I thought that it was dumb, basically. It wasn't until a fateful father-daughter road trip up to Gainesville when I was in eighth grade that a turning point came. I had been controlling the stereo, playing my probably NSYNC or whatever, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, all of the really quality gems that every parent wants to listen to on a 7-hour road trip. I managed to fall asleep, and when I awoke, in my grogginess, I heard this unfamiliar voice just chanting. It sounded like it was coming from like the choir, the pews. And I had a religious moment. I was like, wait a second, this is kind of quality. What is this? My dad's like, yeah, Bruce ain't so bad, is he? I fell for it. You know, at this point I was old enough to admit when I was wrong. I was listening to 2001's The Rising, and it's a beautiful experience from beginning to end. So that day, I became a follower, and I was born again. So here's where my story begins. When I was a sophomore in college, I found out that he was going to be headlining at Bonnaroo in 2009. So I'm not much of a camper, but I decided that this was going to be like, you know, like kind of like going to Mecca, you know, like, sorry, apologies. But that's what it's like for me. Like, that's how much he is like my personal Jesus, you know, like it's like going to church, seeing him. I've never been to church, but if I had gone, I'm sure it's like going to see the boss. It is a revival. So I saw he's headlining at Bonnaroo. I got to get to there. It's in Manchester, Tennessee. I'm going to find a way. Tickets were pretty expensive, but I found out that if you volunteer with an organization called Clean Vibes, they pay for your ticket. And all you have to do is volunteer for 3 days after the festival in the Manchester, Tennessee sun. Sure, okay, I don't care, whatever, you know. I'll sign off on that. So I find my way to Bonnaroo. And the first night, epic rainstorm. My like tent is like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. It's being flooded. Me and my best friend are curled up crying. Like, why are we here? I'm so scared. Got over it. It's fine. Whatever. Wrote in my diary about it. It's cool. So the day Bruce is performing comes up. Wilco's before them. I'm like right there at like the entrance to the pit, and like all the Wilco people are coming out, and I'm just like, get me in there. And I managed to like squeeze my way about like 5-6 bodies from the front barricade. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna see Bruce. He's gonna be right there. I'm gonna be right here. Amazing. So the concert starts. I've got Spirit in the Night, pain on my arms. I'm ready to go, raging out of control. And he comes on the stage and it's everything I ever wanted. And I'm just, you know, going ham on that. His wife, I don't know, y'all know this, but Patty Schiaffa is in his band, and she comes over to my end of the stage, and like at first I'm like, you know, little bit of like tension there and jealousy. But I was like, you know what? She just sees the same thing in Bruce that I do. She's lucky enough to be with him. And so I pick up my hat and I raise it to her. It says, great job on it. And she sees me. She sees me and she takes the hat and she puts it on her head and she starts playing American something. I don't remember. Land of Hope and Dreams. I'm like, oh my God, my life couldn't get any better. She gives it back. It did get better. Bruce comes onto the stage, comes over to where I am, comes down. He's like in the crowd working with the barricade, and he starts to sing this song. He's doing his call and answer, right? He he sings, "You got to raise your hand." And I'm like, oh my God, I can do that. And so I like raise my hand and like just like rip it out of its socket. And I reach over all the people in front of me, including a small child in a wheelchair, but that's another detail. And he reaches out and we touch hands for a second. And I swear I would never wash that hand again. So I touch his hand, I'm floating off into just euphoric bliss. And the next 3 days, every rotten cooler of food that I emptied, every bag of piss I poured out, every one of the thousands cigarette butts that I picked up was to the tune of bah, 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 bah.